Welcome back, Pastor Moses. Have you ever been in a condition where you have so many questions to ask at the same time and you don't even know where to start? That's exactly what's going on with me now. Amen. So let's look at this scripture in the book of John. John chapter 6, verse 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. "For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" This is the Lord Jesus speaking. In my own Bible, it is in red letters. Have I not chosen you 12? So the first question I want to ask before I even go to another question is, why would God choose a devil?
That is very interesting. I quickly want you to note that even you yourself, by the choice of your topic, what's the topic again?
The movie of redemption.
The movie of redemption.
In brackets, the role of Brother Judas.
Now, the movie of
redemption.
Redemption. What did you put there?
The role of Brother Judas.
What did you call him?
Brother Judas.
Whose brother?
Brother Judas.
Whose brother?
Brother is a title.
It's not a title. Brother is not a title.
Okay.
Brother is an identity.
Okay.
Will you call Satan your brother?
No, sir.
Okay, so this devil is your brother.
Okay.
You have answered for yourself now.
Okay.
So he's your brother.
Okay.
Only he's a devil.
Okay, let. Okay, sir. So will Judas, why would God choose a devil? Let me, in the statement of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Why will God choose a devil? He chose him to do what? The Bible says we are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
We have to understand that.
Amen and amen.
You see, we are called according to his purpose. Romans 8, verse 28.
That's true.
You have to understand that. And that purpose is what you call the movie.
Yes, sir. The movie of redemption.
The movie of redemption. And we call it movie because there is a set here. There is the script writer, and there is a director, and only the script writer has the picture in his mind.
Okay.
And he picks the actors and they fulfill the characters that he wants to bring out the message he wants to deliver.
Sir, if I may interject, pardon me. I think I should first start with, why do you liken redemption to a movie? Because it was from you I got this. You're always emphasizing movies.
That's exactly what I'm explaining
now. Okay,
sir. I call it a movie because we use natural things, you know, even carnal things to understand, you know, spiritual things.
Amen.
And why do we call it the mystery of God? Revelation 10:7 says that
the days of the seventh angel,
when it shall begin to sound, the mystery, that singular mystery,
amen,
of God should be finished. And we know that the mystery that is referring to there is also a compound
mystery
that has other mysteries,
yes,
attached to it. But all these are just the script, part of the script that form that general
mystery.
And we need to understand that. You have to understand that there's nothing, God does not do anything by accident. Neither does he do it by trial and error. Let me save every smart. I hope you won't disappoint me. And the Bible says he knows tomorrow.
Of course.
The end from the beginning.
From the beginning.
And so he knows tomorrow.
That's right.
He knows where you are coming and where you are going. That's why he is omniscient.
Yes,
and so you have to have that, the background, you know, you have to have that at the back of your mind when you are serving this God.
Okay.
If not, you have too many questions to ask. And Apostle Paul even says you should not even ask that. So who are you to answer your question, your maker? And what did he call him? What did he call God? The potter.
The potter.
And we are the clay.
Certainly.
And we shall get to see something about the potter.
Okay.
Because you will soon discover that Judas, they took the money that he used to sell Christ.
The potter's field.
And bought the potter's field.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now. So what is the potter's field supposed to do? I mean, what is the potter's job? He got the field. Anyway, we'll come to that in the course of our discussion.
Okay.
We'll come to that in the course of our discussion. But the important thing there is that it's a movie, and there is a director and there's a producer, and only him in his mind knows what picture he wants to bring.
Okay.
And at a junction of time, at a point in this movie, it was necessary for a role to be played for the purpose of our redemption, and he chose one of our brothers.
Okay.
That's why it's Brother Judas.
Redemption is a movie because it has directors, it has different scripts, and it has characters. Okay. And then you said that the role, a particular scene of this movie.
Yes.
A role needed to be played.
Yes.
And he chose Judas.
Yes.
So my question still goes back to what I asked earlier. Why will God choose a devil?
Now, I said because the role to be played needed a devil.
Because the role to be played needed a devil.
Needed what you interpret as the devil.
Okay.
Because the stories are there, we'll read them. Yes, and see how he became a devil. Was he born devil?
Okay.
And how he became devil. Okay. They were referring to him as devil.
Okay, sir. So what was the role of this brother Judas in this movie?
Now, first
I'm not foremost, calling him a devil now.
But it's your brother. You are the one that wrote the topic. You say it's your brother Judas. So that means you're related to him.
Okay, what was the role of Brother Judas in this movie?
You call him okay. Now I want you to understand. I mean, my attention is called when I first this revelation first struck me some few years back. It was very interesting. Allow me to make this comment, please. It generated a lot of interest, attention. We told you this man does not know Bible. By my adversaries, especially those within the end time message. You know, I didn't even know some of them were listening to me, because the impression they create is that they don't listen to me. But sometimes some things happen where you know that they are all hearing you. and I was called names. In fact, there was one that, the way he reacted, it's like if he had a gun, he would shoot me. One of the intermission pastors in Port Harcourt. And I tried to downplay it by saying, I know you are reacting like this because you believe I am in error and you don't want me to be in error. And that is why you are reacting like that. I said, thank you very much for your care for me so that I will not go in error. And please, keep watching so that when you see other mistakes, you will correct it again. And that is not a brother that would like people to know that. So he quickly replied, said it was somebody that sent that and called his attention. I don't even know why they sent that tummy rot to him. And I just thought, maybe should I reply that person, not to me. But whatever it is, it's part of this nonsense going on, you know, when you are not in their camp. You take the kind of stand that I take. And please, I have an obligation because I have followers, and I will only work within my understanding. I must be able to defend anything I preach. And I'm not convinced of anything. Whoever it is that speaks it, I will not preach it. You know, it's just like Brother Raymond Jackson, Nate Jackson, whom I respect so much. God led me to his ministry. So many years ago, and I was reading one of his comments. He said, when William Branham preached on the serpent seed, he was a strong follower of the minister of William Branham. The sermon books, you will see him mentioning Junior Jackson Jr. That's the man.
Right.
And he said, he had his church. He said he refused to preach it in his church because there were questions he didn't understand. And he will not just go and preach it because William Branham preached it. He has to understand it. Because when it's time for you to defend something, you will be bringing somebody's sermon and say he's the one that said it.
Certainly.
You know. You won't be good. That, you know, that was why just before we came on camera, I turned to Pastor Evie Smart. I said, is Judas in hell or in heaven? Then he said, yeah, according to your teaching. I say, you are saying according to my teaching now. But what of according to your understanding? Mm-hmm. And we must, as preachers, take responsibility for what we preach.
That's right.
If you don't believe anything, then don't talk about it. Mm. Don't even criticize it until you have the points to criticize it. Mm. Because your criticism is also a demonstration of your understanding.
That's true.
So if you disagree, then be sure you disagree because you have a better understanding. Mm. Now, the truth is that all along the years, we have always believed and thought that Judas was wicked.
That's true.
Imagine he betrayed an innocent man. And worst of all, he went and committed suicide. He committed murder. He's a child of hell. And see the descriptions in the Bible. He was a devil.
Son of perdition.
Son of perdition. And all that. I happened to jam a history very pathetically, you know, and that itself also bring about please, you know, that what brought about Judas was not even a topic when I was preaching. I only used it based on my understanding to explain mercy, the mercy of God. Many of us don't understand the mercy of God, and because you don't understand the mercy of God, how you are a beneficiary of God's mercy, you don't know how to give mercy. You don't know how to show mercy. Because if you receive mercy, you will show mercy. If you receive love, you're a beneficiary of love, you will give love. That's the truth. And you discover that. Now, one of the star messengers that we believe is Luther. Yes, but I saw a write-up that actually Hitler, his spiritual father, was Luther. He built on the teachings of Luther. Luther believed that Judas and the Jews, they killed an innocent man, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And the way he spoke it, it was like, it is good for you. You know, the Jews are not worth living.
Anti-Semitism.
You know, Luther, and yet he was one of the star messengers. Mm-hmm. Now, I hear, with my understanding, I would have said, why would God choose a hater of Jews when God himself said, "Who Abraham, anyone that blesses you will be blessed. Anyone that curses you will be cursed." Now, this is somebody cursing the Jews, but God still picked him as a star messenger. Don't you see there's a mystery there?
A serious one.
Now, this mystery even goes further. You know, when the ministry started, this brand assembly started, you know, a lot of gifts. The Holy Ghost came down and a lot of gifts. But, you know, many of them were not even converted. Hmm. But they received these gifts and they were operating the gifts. Wow. And there was a lot of confusion. And people were facing me, the pastor. And they were telling me, you are allowing people to be prophesying when they are not converted. Then I used to tell them, I said, this same question you are asking is what I'm asking God. This man has not converted. And you gave him this gift. See, the one that is challenging me now is converted. You didn't give him the gift. There's a mystery there. So you be careful. Why not, instead of beginning to pass judgment, why not say, look, and God cannot make mistakes.
That's right.
You know? And so, and God didn't tell me that when I give them this gift, don't allow them to operate it until you see that they are converted. Who do you know who is converted and who is not converted? So this whole thing is a mystery. Now, when it comes to Judas also, I'm going to do a lot of talking, then you can turn your questions because there are some people that will never agree, no matter how you said it, you know. But whether I say it or not, it is a mystery. It is a program of God. Now, let me, first and foremost, let me just drop some questions.
Okay.
If I ask you today, who killed Jesus? Who will you say killed Jesus?
Wow.
Now, you must answer me, Elvis Smart. Who killed Jesus?
Every one of us killed Jesus. The whole race.
The world, Adam's race.
Yes, killed Jesus.
The fall of Adam's race necessitated Jesus to come and die.
Yes.
Who did he die for?
Every one of us.
For the sinner.
For the whole world.
Therefore, for the sinner.
Hmm.
You and me.
Man.
He died for you and me.
Yes.
Hmm. Now, who betrayed Jesus?
Judas.
Eh? One of the killers of Jesus, we say, is the betrayer.
Yes.
Now, listen. Judas betrayed him. Who is more guilty? Him or the people that actually killed him?
The people that actually killed him.
Well, in law, is an accomplice.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
In law, he is
an accomplice.
Yes, sir.
And have lesser sentence.
But now I want you people to note. I want you people to note. When you say it's an accomplice, let's dissect it a little bit. Do you truly believe or your understanding that this man that spent 3 years doing miracles, signs and wonders, turning the whole place upside down, that they could not identify him until they needed Judas to be able to identify him? Think very well. Now, what even confuses us is that all of them that gave the account, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them gave different accounts.
Very true, sir. Yes.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Therefore, the interpreters of the King James Version interpreted it with an understanding that it would therefore take some extra revelation from God to place these things together.
Hmm.
So when you say that he betrayed him, the truth is, how did he betray him? I want you to note. And the betrayer and the killer and the false witnesses, that were hired for that purpose, all of them together with us, we killed Jesus.
So your first point now is that the killer has a higher crime than the betrayer.
No, I'm saying if you have to charge them before the law court, all of them, they are accomplices. Plus you that gave information of where the person to be kidnapped is. And the person that kidnapped him, when the police will catch you, all of you is the same judgment.
That's true. That's true. I agree with you on that, sir.
Why are you focusing on Judas then? Now, let's read one scripture. John 18, verse 9. There's a statement there.
John 18, verse 9.
Yes.
It says, that the saying might be fulfilled, which spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none.
Have I lost none.
Uh-huh. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it.
Now, that is, you see the narration of when they came, what happened there.
Yes, sir.
But the important thing there is that, read that verse 9 again.
That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake.
So of, that was a prophecy. Uh-huh.
Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none.
I have lost none.
Yes, sir.
I have lost none. There's another narration, say, except
the son of perdition.
John 17:12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name.
Uh-huh.
Those that thou givest me, I have I kept.
Uh-huh.
And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition.
Now, hold on. Look at the loss in John 18. What he was saying here is that there was going to be a battle. These people came to arrest Jesus. They were armed. And one of the disciples of Jesus was going to fight, took a sword, and was already going. There would have been bloodshed. So Jesus stopped it. So that in the course of the fight, none of those 12 disciples will be lost.
Physically.
Mm. Therefore, the loss here is physical loss.
Mm.
Now, also, in chapter 17, where you read.
Okay. Chapter 17, verse 12.
Yes.
While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name.
Uh-huh.
Those thou gavest me, I have kept.
Those that he gave him. Did he give him Judas?
Yes, he gave Judas to him.
Okay, read it again.
While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name.
Uh-huh.
Those that thou gavest me, I have kept.
Uh-huh.
And none of them is lost,
uh-huh,
but the son of perdition,
uh-huh,
that the scripture,
that might, the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, why this loss here, therefore, is lost from the 12 in number, not in eternal security.
Not in salvation.
Because if you notice John 18, he emphasized when the battle was coming.
Yes, sir.
You know, when the battle was, when they were going to fight a battle there.
Mm. Yes, sir.
You know, so that none of them will die.
Yes, sir.
He prevented it.
Mm-hmm.
The emphasis is that you gave me 12 and I will keep the 12. Because they are going to make the foundation for the New Testament church. Now you can back that up in Acts chapter 1. Let's read that story from verse 20.
Acts 1:20.
Yes.
For it is written in the book of Psalms,
uh-huh,
let his habitation be desolate,
uh-huh,
and let no man dwell therein.
Uh-huh.
And his bishopric, let another
that who is he referring to?
Judas.
I want you to note it. So let's read it. Go on. Let's read it. Maybe up to verse 26.
Okay. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us,
uh-huh,
beginning from the baptism of John,
uh-huh,
unto that same day that he was taken up from us,
uh-huh,
must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection.
Uh-huh.
And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the heart of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell.
I want you to note that verse 25 very well.
Mm-hmm.
Read it again.
That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place.
That he might go to his own place.
Yes, sir.
What is his own place that he has gone to? Hell, Abby?
Traditionally, that's what we believe.
Eh? Stop tradition. Let's come and rightly divide the word of truth.
Okay.
He has taken his place in the script of salvation.
Holy Spirit of God.
In the script of salvation, he has taken his place. He has fulfilled his part in this agenda of salvation. That was his ministry. He has fulfilled his ministry in the plan of salvation. And the plan of salvation is a perfect plan.
Mm.
Satan has no hand in it. Everything is from God and by God.
Let me pause you, sir.
Yes.
We started with John 18, and it's very clear. The lust in John 18, verse 9,
yes,
is speaking of physical lust.
Yes.
Death. Then John 17, 12, he said the lust there is not eternal life.
It's not
salvation.
Bishop, that is why, you know,
he was replaced.
He was replaced.
So that there is about his position.
It's his position among the 12.
In the building of God. Okay.
Among the 12.
Among the 12 apostles. Then coming to Acts chapter 1, verse 25.
Yes.
Which is a very serious scripture that
yes.
we used to justify that Judas
yes.
went to hell. So you are saying that he might go to his own place, there is no hell.
It's not hell. It's in the scripts. And everybody has his part to play. When you finish playing your part, give way.
Wow.
Now watch it. In John chapter 13.
John chapter 13.
Verse 27.
John 13, 27.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
And after the soap, Satan entered into him.
Eh?
And after the soap, Satan entered into him.
Uh-huh.
Then said Jesus unto him,
uh-huh,
that thou doest do quickly.
That you want to do. Do it quickly. Now, notice that setting. It was Jesus that projected that spirit into him.
Hey.
That's true.
Okay.
Now, do you understand?
Mm.
Judas was not a betrayer.
But he said after the sob, Satan entered.
He was the one now that
gave it to him.
Oh, after
he's the
sob,
one that he gave it to him. And then he said, oh, yeah, that with that do quickly. And Satan entered him.
The spirit entered
after
him.
After the soap.
Mm.
Then.
And the spirit entered him. So it was not part of him before.
Thank you. This is just summary.
So Jesus anointed Judas.
Anointed Judas for that ministry.
Okay.
With the spirit that will enable him to do that ministry. Now I want you to also note that when he was giving up while he was hanging on the cross in anguish, there is a prayer that Jesus prayed. Do you remember the prayer? What did he say? Father,
forgive them.
Forgive those who were killing him.
Yes, sir. Luke 23, verse 34.
What did he say?
Then said Jesus, yes. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Now, did Judas know what he was doing?
Not at all. I will say no, because when he discovered in Matthew 27, the Bible says he repented himself.
So therefore, Judas is covered by this prayer.
And again, pointing to what you've just read in John 13,
yes.
27.
Yes.
So the evil spirit now took over him.
Thank you.
Was controlling him.
So it was not him.
But sir, in John 13, because this one you've cleared, it's very, very powerful.
Yes. Very powerful.
But where he said, yes, John 13 verse 2 rather,
yes.
And supper being ended.
Yes.
The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him.
And so, but don't you know how he got there?
He entered there. And
how he entered there. Now let's go for that. I'm still saying this. You see, it is still attributed to Satan.
Mm.
Even the verse you read in verse 2 there, it's still attributed to Satan.
Yes, that is Satan that put
it. It's Satan that therefore, you know, this is covered by the prayer. For he knoweth not what he was doing.
Okay.
So the father answered that prayer, yeah. Of course, because it is part of the agenda. Now, I want you to see also, is there a small sin and a big sin in the Bible?
No, I think Pastor Elvis will help us with that answer. Let Pastor answer, Pastor.
No, because there is no big sin, like there is no small sin.
Certainly.
All
wrongdoing.
Now, what of death? Is there different types of death and different types of hell?
No, sir.
Eh?
No, sir.
So, if a sinner sins today, will he go to a different part of hell a thief, a fornicator, different type of hell from the hell that you have sentenced Judas to go to?
No, sir.
Because he betrayed Christ?
No, sir.
Okay. Death is death, which all of us have been sentenced to. Okay, now he says all manner of sin
and blasphemy.
And blasphemy against the Son of Man shall be
forgiven.
All manner of sin against the Son of Man shall be forgiven, except the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Was Judas' sin a blasphemy of the Holy Ghost?
No, sir.
Therefore, the sin of Judas is covered as a forgivable sin. And worst of all is that he asked for forgiveness. I even made restitution.
He asked for forgiveness.
I made restitution. Yes. We that are Christians today, be very sincere with yourself. Our Christians today, not betraying Christ. Our Christians today, not selling Christ. For what they will eat. What is the difference between them and Judas? And yet, there's room for repentance.
Sir, we'll take a short break. Let's digest these few things you've said.
Before we take that break, let me land this, at least let's put this together.
Okay.
You know, because I want you to get this in before we go to whatever question you want to ask me.
Okay, sir.
Because I want you to look at it very well. Now, if Judas is guilty because he participated in the killing of an innocent man. Therefore, he's a devil.
Mm.
Okay, devil. David killed another innocent man, Uriah.
And took his wife.
And yet, David is a man after God's own heart. Okay. He repented. You will say, but David didn't kill himself. I said, show me in the Bible where suicide is a sin. Condemned. Such murder is wrong. Whether you kill yourself or you kill another person, you are guilty of murder. You have taken life. Nobody has a right to take anybody's life, including your own life, because all life belongs to God. So you call it suicide. Because you kill yourself. But God does not look at it as suicide. Look at it as a murder. And all murderers will go to hell. But here is one murderer here. That is a man after God's own heart. The only reason is because he repented. Okay. Because it's important that we put all this together. Saul. Was Saul in hell? If he was in hell then.
Somewhere on there.
Why did Samuel make that statement? When the witch of Endor. Today you'll be with me. That means Samuel is in hell. So you know we have to put all these things together. You may take your break if you want to.
Our viewers will permit me, let's take a short break so that I myself can properly digest this thing that the pastor has said. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.